It's not just radio, it's Rockland World Radio. RocklandWorldRadio.com.
Spark lively discussion about a variety of everyday topics from the viewpoints of spirituality and metaphysics. This is New Perspectives.
Good evening. Welcome again to New Perspectives Radio. I am Anton Blumen. I'm here with my co-host, Paul Lamb.
Good evening.
And Rory Pinto.
Hi.
Very pleased to have two guests. One we know well, Diane Ingram.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Sure, and welcome to Nicole Davis.
Hi.
So our theme tonight is living your dreams. And we have a kind of a complementary situation here. We have a life coach with lots of experience in different directions, helping people with their purpose, to actualize their true purpose in life. We have psychic reader Nicole Fevrier-Davis. Did I get that right?
That was amazing.
That was the French.
That was a beautiful thing you just did.
Fevrier. Yes. I say it again.
You can say it to me anytime you
Je
want.
Je ne sais quoi.
Perfect. That was perfect. I was waiting.
So let me just introduce a little more. So Diane is a certified professional coach with the International Coach Federation. She's helped many, many people over the years. She's also a speaker, a songwriter, an author of a book, Listen to Your Heart, A Guide to Living Life on Purpose, also producer of The Diane Ingram Show. And Diane says she loves to motivate others to do what is necessary to live a fulfilled, purposeful life, both professionally and personally.
That's me.
And Nicole is a Reiki master, an author, prolific author, I should say, certified fitness instructor and speaker, and has been a featured speaker in over 24 venues. For example, hosting the Mind Body Connection show on RobinHoodRadio.com, 10:20 a.m. And she is we've had a nice conversation before the show, and I think you're going to find some very interesting background with both of these ladies. And I just would like to start by asking each of you, what does it mean living your dreams?
Do you want to go first?
Go ahead.
Either or.
Well, I think from doing what we do, we're constantly looking for ways to manifest what we want to have in our lives, testing whether or not it falls into divine alignment or if it really is in compatible with who we are. So we both felt there needed to be a voice, because to some extent or another, I think we've all manifested some part of our life dreams. We wouldn't be here right now if we didn't manifest some part of our life dreams. So I think it's manifesting what's right for you, mind, body, and spirit, career, as well as personal life. And allowing you to express who you are in the moment as best you can. What do you think, Diane?
Yeah, that sounds good. And then one of the things we also tune into is we oftentimes people have dreams and they're not really sure what the dream brings them. So we kind of try to get underneath what is the qualities that come into your life as you manifest this dream. Because some dreams are more attainable than others, and some people are looking for things that may not even be actually possible in their lives. So when we clue into what are the qualities and the states of being that come from the manifestation of that dream, we can look at other ways where that might be able to be manifested outside of that original dream. So,
would you just touch on that? Would you say that again, explain that again about the manifesting of the vibrations, the energies of that dream?
Right.
After the fact?
So what I'm saying is, like, sometimes people have this dream that they want to be a singer, for instance, and maybe they don't have a very good voice, and maybe, like, or maybe they're the way their life is set up, that's just not something that they can be a professional singer. So I would say, so what is the, what is that going to bring to you, do you think? Well, it might bring recognition. It might bring the pleasure of music. It might be able to spend time in the arena of music. So what other ways can you manifest that and bring those qualities into your life without becoming a professional speaker? Professional singer. So I guess what I'm saying is, yeah, getting into the vibration of what is, what occurs when you have that dream, or what is your idea that's of what it's going to occur when you when you do have the creation of that dream.
I think, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, that in some cases there are physical manifestations to your dream. I mean, I know some people who are wheelchair ridden and they can't go jogging anymore, you know. What about your dream can you include in your daily life and activities that will be as fulfilling, if not as fulfilling, get you closer to that fulfillment state? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the other piece is that oftentimes people have dreams and it's a someday. It's down the road, far down the road. And so another piece is to recognize what are the qualities you're looking for in the manifestation of that dream, and how can you start experiencing them now,
right,
so that you're not waiting for that someday, because we all know someday never
comes. I think the tendency is to wait until the accomplishment to feel the enjoyment. It's curious that when you feel the enjoyment first, kind of like it's done already, we're just waiting for it to manifest, then actually it's a much better foundation than sort of the fear of not achieving that goes with it, or protecting what you have, and it actually throws you off balance.
Well, then, and that's why you should really love what you're trying to attain, you know, so that when you're practicing it on a daily basis, you're not leaving that part of yourself behind.
Right, loving the process as well as the product that you are envisioning.
Right.
And the other piece is to be able to be more present to your life right now rather than projecting into the future this someday dream attainment.
Mm-hmm.
I just sorry to interrupt, but it just occurred to me that the way people have breakthroughs is there's a moment when they go, that's a real contact with myself. And in that moment, there's all kinds of possibilities that you weren't aware of before.
Mm, right.
And perhaps that's what you're kind of nurturing, something like that.
Mm. We in just the very brief time that we've worked together, we've noticed a lot of people have automatic blocks to their dream, automatically. Well, I can't do it because they hire this kind of person, or that education doesn't exist for me yet, and I don't understand how I can get to this point when I'm all the way back here. And I think you almost have to mentally and spiritually prepare yourself for a level of transformation when it comes to your thought process and attaining your goals and dreams. So yeah, that's exactly right. Then there's an open door. So a lot of times, you know, I was saying to Diane when we were doing the Awaken Fair that We're gonna hope and pray that we get the people who are ready for transformation, that are ready to hear what we have to hear, what we have to say, and are ready to operate and function on that level and be proactive in that level. So yeah, we definitely look for people who are at that moment ready for transformation. Yeah.
Mm. I guess what's coming to mind is the expression in the show business that you're only as good as your last picture. Okay, so if you identify with the kind of achievement of a particular dream, kind of, you know, make it like, that's me, and then what happens when you hit stumbling blocks, or, you know, then your self-esteem is somehow tied into this, and you're not free. I'm just curious, so how do you maintain your dream, but also or have a level of detachment, or still have your passion, but you know,
well,
when your movie bombs, it's not who you are.
Right, right. And I, just as an example, we had one person who had a lot of anger built up, and they couldn't attain their dream because they were so bound up in this anger, and they couldn't even see themselves attaining their dream. So I think it takes someone to be ever vigilant in their emotional status and how they're responding to people, how they're interacting in their relationships, how they're behaving in their daily lives, how they respond to traffic on the highway. You know, I'm serious. You have to kind of take it step by step and break it down. That was an inappropriate response, and am I going to act that way when I actually attain my dream, my goal? Am I going to be hyper vigilant about how I respond to people or myself when I actually attain my goal? And is that going to be enough for me? Am I going to be happy? Or like Diane said, what else am I getting from this? Mm-hmm. I love that. Diane, mm-hmm. talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so for instance, you know, we're all going for these things. And I would just want to address one thing that you just said, Rory, and that is that there's so much else beyond these dreams that we aspire to. But so dreaming is just an aspect of our lives. You know, there's so many other aspects that are moving along simultaneously. But so there are these things that we're going for that we kind of hold out in front of us as, boy, if I were to get there. You know, so the question is, well, if you were to get there, what would that bring you? Because the belief is that underneath everything we're doing, we're going for a state of being. So, for instance, someone who loves horseback riding, they might love getting on that horse, but what does that experience bring them? Well, it might bring them freedom. It might bring them liberation, independence. So when you identify the qualities that they're going for out of each experience, you can actually look and see, like I said, what other ways can you experience that? You can't spend all your time on the back of a horse, but how else can you experience those qualities in your life? And when you look at it from the level of the state of being, it opens up the whole world. Like, there's so many ways that that can manifest other than riding on the back of a horse. Riding on the back of a horse is perfectly fine also, but you can start experiencing it right now, right here, by looking for other ways you can experience freedom, independence, and in the now.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to, I guess we've already sort of touched on this, that it's nice to have a client who's just ready to go. Mm-hmm. But then for everyone who's ready to go, there are others who are not ready that mm-hmm. they have to work through their obstacles. Mm-hmm. So this thing about self-regulation, for example, which is, I think, what we all work on in our various practices as a central thing. If you can't, if you don't have any responsibility for your state, you know, it's that attainment that's in the distance doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Even if you get there, you can't stay there, so
right.
The dream is still a dream.
Mm-hmm.
But so, what is the process that each or both of you work with, getting from symptom relief to transformation?
Well, initially, when we work together, I give a kind of an intuitive reading, an overview of what I see as a possibility for the client. Usually, the client has an idea of what they would like to attain in their lives, something that has eluded them in the past or is a newfound dream or wish or whatever. And usually, like I said, there are some stumbling blocks to get there, because I tend to believe that if you have a dream or a goal in your life, that thing is going to lead you to a better who you are. It'll bring more of your soul to your conscious awareness and bring you to a better place if it is in alignment with divine will. I mean, there's a lot of different elements and parts and pieces to this, but overall, when I hit someone who has stumbling blocks, let's say, I try to have them take a baby step instead of taking that giant leap off the precipice and risking all of their ego at that one moment. Mm-hmm. You know, taking small, deliberate steps.
Yes.
And visualizing themselves in that place. Mm-hmm. And then Diane is really good at saying, you know, this is your step A, this is your step B. When you break it down like that, it seems less overwhelming, less intense. So, I mean, does that answer your question?
Absolutely. You know, I was going to say that there are steps.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get there all at once.
Right.
And what does it mean? There's a change in orientation after a certain point, though,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That you take the steps, but then there may be a tipping point where suddenly you're looking at the whole thing from a new perspective,
mm-hmm.
if I may say new perspective.
Shameless
but
plug.
Seriously. But suddenly, wait a minute, who am I? All these questions come up.
Right.
And what is my real purpose? As you're saying
right.
in your bio, this is really a core thing that you help with.
Right, and it really is the journey and not the destination. So all along the journey, you're discovering things about yourself, and you're gaining a new perspective, and which allows you to maybe even the destination changes
right.
from there.
Right, absolutely.
But it is about the journey, and it's about the qualities that are coming out of that experience. That
one subtle thing I want to introduce is that there are no missteps. There's only steps. It helps to reframe that. It seems to me it helps people when you're talking about taking manageable steps to that. You know, sometimes it appears that there's a misstep, or maybe you've been unsupported in some way and taken too large a step, or
right.
maybe not too small, but it's all good.
Or you may be involved in a step you think is completely unrelated to your goal.
Very good.
And I met a costume designer who worked on a farm with sheep and this and that and the other thing, and had no idea she wanted to be a costume designer. And then later,
I was trying to put those two together.
There is a link. Hold on a second. But what she realized is that her background in that whole life before her career as a costume designer helped her design costumes for shepherds and other things and other productions that she was involved in on Broadway. So even though it seems completely unrelated, we had another person who used to go to Indian Native American powwows all the time. And I distinctly saw her in that environment. I said, you have about two or three Native American guides with you right now, and you could definitely do something along those lines, but I feel that you have to bring your joy to it, whatever it is. And she was looking at the Native American powwows as kind of a release, a little vacation, a getaway. But I said, no, this is where you belong. You know, you've picked these guides up now, and they're going to guide you towards a greater and higher purpose. And so I think Diane got some feedback from her recently, right?
Yeah, I ran into her, and she said that was spot on, you know, when she sat with it. I mean, we often don't know the connections, and sometimes they seem really disparate, you know, like mm-hmm. There is no connecting threads, and I think it's all connected.
Yeah.
You know, it all informs in one way or another.
Yep.
And how do we, how do we facilitate this on an ongoing daily basis?
Mm.
You know, what can we do to kind of shift the dynamic and speed up the process? I mean, I know what I can do, and I know what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very simple things like meditation,
mm-hmm.
meditation practice, some kind of a physical practice.
Right.
Certainly aligns you with the energy that you're talking about.
Right.
And then that helps you to manage your state, manage your emotions.
Yeah.
And come back quicker.
Anything that's going to keep you in touch with your deeper self and with spirit is going to help you along your journey.
But I also like, Diane, you have like a map. You map out a week, you map out a month, you map out...
Right,
and that
right.
goes along with that self-vigilance theme.
Right, yeah, like I have my clients create an ideal week, and that's a very practical nuts and bolts
mm-hmm,
thing,
mm-hmm.
but it's a matter of putting all those pieces into your week that are important to you. So it might be a meditation practice each morning. It might be a time for journaling, a time for spiritual reading, and then it comes the time. You know, so putting all those pieces that are important to you in your life helps to keep you on track as far as creating the life you want to be creating for yourself. And also you can build into that the steps that you're taking to work towards this attainment of whatever your goal or dream is.
It helps you to be more positive. You know, I think that's a big thing.
And also experience progress.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also, you can use those practices to help you discern if this is the right goal for you or if it isn't. In my workbook, I have a CD that I describe something called the aligning flow, where you see if something is in alignment with who you are, your soul, and the divine purpose of your life. And if it falls out of that divine alignment, then you know it needs some fine-tuning, some adjusting. But you can also use the meditation to magnetize yourself. Diane and I have been doing this long enough to know that we've taken a lot of these seemingly superfluous little steps along the way, and then all of a sudden a door opens, and it's because you've magnetized yourself. You've brought that energy into your mind and your body, and you're living it. As you speak it, as you walk it, you're living it, and it's drawing things to you, opportunities to you. So, I, you know, I look back on various times in my life where there was nothing happening, where there was no activity.
Nothing apparent.
Nothing apparent. But, you know, in retrospect, honestly, I couldn't handle it at that point in my life. There were other things going on that it was inappropriate for me to pursue. So now doors are opening left and right, and it's because we've done the expos, we've done the talks, we've written the books, we've, you know, magnetized our energy to really draw in what is going to be good for us now, I think.
Yeah, and what you just spoke about on the divine alignment, because oftentimes people get in their heads and they say, I'd really like to be there. I really like to have this as a dream. But if you're not in touch with what your inner, deeper self is speaking to you, your intuition, your deeper wisdom, that oftentimes it can be misalignment, and you can keep banging your head against the wall for years, but you're not going to get there because it's not in divine alignment.
Right.
And that's an important piece that oftentimes people miss. They just feel like they failed. You know, they've set this goal for themselves and they haven't been able to get there, and they failed. And in fact, they haven't been listening to what their deeper self is really calling for.
And they've been magnetizing the opposite,
right,
by being so focused on not having it.
Right. And then when they get the opposite, they realize, that's not what I really wanted. That's not what I bargained for. Wait a minute. And that's that reevaluation point, that vigilance and checking in with yourself. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. What keeps coming in to my awareness is the question, who's dreaming this?
Mm.
Is Source dreaming this for me, or am I trying to wrest control of that and then do this by wit and cunning and might and power? And it's this paradox, you know, when you kind of get quiet and ask to be shown, it's very different from having this very willful personal power approach.
Absolutely.
To bringing this forward. So you're kind of more instrumental in, you know, when you're kind of asking for the ball and then running with it, you know.
Well, and there's something to be said, and I may totally butcher this. I apologize in advance, but I remember reading a long time ago that within your desires lies God's will and the greater will of the universe. If you broke down the word desire, it's of the sire, of his will. So your desires are actually part of the bigger plan. It's just sometimes our egos warp them into something that maybe is not as pure as we'd like it to be. So I sincerely believe that if you have a desire to play music, there's something that needs to be expressed through you.
Right. Well, it's kind of like fulfilling your purpose in a way.
Right.
When it's that strong.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, it's like if you're musical, you have to make music. It's like a bird needs to sing, you know.
Yep.
So continuing the metaphor, if we try to play the violin well and we're all caught up in trying to impress other people and how am I doing and oh my God, I sound terrible. And then if you turn that metaphor around and say, how to become an instrument for something else, to be played, if you will, to go in my terms, in my practice, I go through a process of going from reactivity to sensitivity, and they're really different in my frame of reference. So if someone is very reactive, they're thrown off center all the time. And they don't know who they are. They don't even know what their real goals are.
Right.
But in the process of training, and whatever your training is, to become more sensitive, then a whole other world can open up, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, that process of learning how to play a violin, we're all holistic here, so we're familiar with the chakra centers. It may be healing something on a completely different level, you know, that may not be apparent right here and now. I'm a part of a Reiki group on LinkedIn, and a woman was talking about how she had no desire to give Reiki anymore. She doesn't know why, had to give it up, not even interested in it. But when I looked at her picture, I just saw a distinct block in her throat, and I said, that's because you haven't cleared yourself yet. You have to, you know, work on this. And I talked to her about public speaking and a few other things, and apparently she had been practicing public speaking, was dying to be a speaker on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, maybe you're practicing Reiki, and that's the thing that you're doing, but that's not what you're really meant to do. Maybe you're meant to be the speaker that you really want to be. It's just that this was the venue to get there. That's all. And maybe your energy, your personality, your physical body, that would be better understood, the Reiki Ray, than to sit in a class and learn about public speaking 24 hours a day. So it depends. You know, there are different routes to the same goal.
I just want to add, this is so important that sometimes we have real goals, real visions, but what stops us is often something even mechanical, something that's very specific that's in the way. And if you clear it, then the energy flows.
That's right. That's
and
right.
So recognizing where I'm blocked is so important. I mean, you can save time, as Paul is pointing out. You can really save time in the process by unblocking whatever's, you know, blocking your way.
Absolutely.
And again, that goes back to the vigilance thought. Like, what am I feeling today? Where am I blocked? You know, physically, do I feel well? Mentally, do I feel well? Or is there something bothering me? And maybe learning violin or learning Reiki or going dancing will loosen that up and allow it to flow out.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most important relationship is with ourself by far. And it's about tuning in and really knowing and being in touch with that. And when you are in touch with yourself, you're able to find what is in the way of that. Sometimes you need the help of a psychic or a healer or other people to help you become aware of those things. But by developing your relationship with yourself, you've got a knowledge, a working knowledge there that you can... then you can better understand what's in your way and how to remove those blocks.
Right.
Maybe you could speak to commitment. Where does that fit into the picture?
Well, I would say, once again, a commitment, my commitment, first and foremost, is to myself, and not in a selfish way, but in a way of, in knowing myself and committing to my regular practice of meditation and really... you know, staying in touch with myself, only then can I offer anything from my heart to anyone in a pure way. And so I'm not sure if that answers your question, but commitment is a really important piece for me.
I'm thinking in the example of relationships, that commitment is what enables you to slog through the rough times, because you're committed to making this work.
Mm.
And so it's kind of tied into perseverance as well. They kind of feed off each other.
Well,
and if you're not committed, you're going to be a flake. You know, you're gonna run at the first obstacle or shut down or whatever. I mean, it's maybe we're talking about positive use of will here, which has its place.
The right use of will, and I think correct me if I'm wrong, but if you have a dream or you have a goal or desire in your life that you want to accomplish, if you're committed to the truth of what that is for you, like Diane said, if the truth of you getting a gig on Broadway is self-recognition, then be committed to the truth, not the gig on Broadway. You know what I'm saying? It's
not quite.
Okay. If what you're really craving inside is recognition...
Right. See me.
Yes. Then be committed to that, because that will lead you to something else. It may not be the gig on Broadway. It may be something else, but you'll be more fulfilled with the something else than you would. So if you're committed to the truth of that, whatever that is, that dream is leading you to, then other opportunities unfold that will bring even greater fulfillment for you.
And how does one recognize the truth of that?
I think within each of us, I mean, I've written about this a lot, especially on my blog, about how your body holds the truth. It'll know the truth. Things that don't resonate within your body and your soul, you'll know, because you'll get the headaches, your knee will go out, you'll have these other ailments to point you in the direction of what is ultimately true for you. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but I've also experienced if I speak the truth into a body part, all of a sudden it releases and the healing takes place. So if you're committed to that truth within whatever you're doing, your health, your well-being, your spiritual status, your career goals, if you're committed to the truth of whatever that is and what it holds for you, then you can't go wrong. you're always going to be in a place of discovery and open doors.
By the way, because of your extensive background studying the body, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's pretty much acknowledged that the body tells you a lot, doesn't lie.
Absolutely.
So if it sits well, as they say, in the body, what is your gut feeling about your purpose, etc.? You can think about it all day, but if you really feel it in your body, that's a good direction.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm telling you something that you already know, but...
No, but, you know, it's important, I think, to reaffirm and for listeners to hear, to always go back to the grassroots of what is that truth, and you can discover that within your body, definitely.
Do you have any kind of a technique for people to ask themselves or take themselves through so that they can kind of get...
I do.
Clarity?
Well, I usually do a meditation and workshops and lectures that is called the body scan and is meant to address or identify physical ailments or inequities in the body. But inevitably, other things do come up, and a lot of times it'll be couched or cloaked in a physical ailment. I had one woman who had thyroid issues, and she told me about them, and I said, you know, what does that hold for you? What is the tension around that? And she said, I can never speak my opinion. I'm always in a place of holding my tongue, never able to really express myself. And I asked her, what would help you express yourself? And she said, well, I'd love to sing. I'd love to go back to singing. I don't necessarily want to be on Broadway. I don't necessarily want to be in a production. I would just love to sing. So she started singing that summer, and she was a little overweight. I saw her a year later. She had lost 20 pounds, was just doing local theater productions. The thyroid thing had cleared up, and she was in a much, much happier, fulfilled place than she was before. And I asked her, I said, are you able now to openly express yourself? And she was still working on that part. But the vast difference from when I saw her initially to the following summer, seeing her lose all that weight and doing something she truly loved and was expressing herself that way, was very beneficial, very healing for her. So.
And how does that translate with your work, Diane?
Yeah, similarly. You know, sometimes people just need to be given permission to do what it is that they long to do, to follow their desire. A lot of people have been told no so much that they start telling themselves that before they allow themselves to actually have their dream. And a lot of people come to me and they say, I don't even know what my goals are. I don't even know what direction I'm heading. So we start right there, which getting clear on, you know, what is it you really want, because so many people have just shut that down because they've been told no so much. They've internalized that.
Or be sensible. Choose the sensible
life. Do the sensible
exactly.
Thing.
I mean, that's very English. I mean, we all know
my
it, right?
Son,
we
my
all know
son,
it.
The lawyer.
Yeah. We all know it. We all know it. My mom used to say, "Oh, you always date dreamers. You know, you're a dreamer." It's like, yes, yeah. I am.
Well, and I think a lot of people struggle with that because they see you have great ideas, or you're very imaginative, or you have aspirations. But what they want to see is some hard and fast evidence that it exists, you know. And
show me.
Show me the evidence. You know, where is this going? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, sometimes it's not evident what you're going to get out of it. Sometimes it's an emotional healing. But, you know, I think in any case, yeah, we all need to have some very grounded steps on how to get there.
Yeah, my work with people is to not only give them grounded steps to get there, but it is to have them feel empowered to go there in the first place. And that's where a lot of people just don't feel it, because they don't have the connection with themselves, they don't support themselves, they can't find the courage because they don't support themselves. They're too busy out here thinking about what other people think. I was just listening to Brené Brown, who speaks on vulnerability and shame, and she has a book out called Daring Greatly, and it's very powerful. She's a doctor in social work. Anyhow, she said that the long journey is from what will people think to I am enough. And I love that, because that's absolutely the journey. so many people are looking out here to have reflected back that I'm enough. And really the journey is to get it right here, right now, so that when you're out here, you're just relating with people, sharing love, having a good time, but you're not looking for this to come back at you and say, I'm enough.
That's why I like the Awaken Fair, because I really feel like that. I just love when people gather around the table and they want ideas and express themselves. You just feel like this is what it's meant to be. Mm-hmm, this is a part of the giving process. Mm-hmm. This is what I always hoped it would be. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
Maybe you could speak to the whole question of intention, because if you have mixed intentions, you're going to be advancing but also shooting yourself in the foot as you go along, or it's like driving a car and accelerating and riding the brake at the same time. I'm sure this comes up in your own experience and the people that you're working with, and my own experience and the people I work with, but it seems like it's helpful to identify the negative intention that's sort of lurking under the radar and bring it into the light. Is that something that makes sense to you?
Well, there's so many things that are designed to derail us, aren't they? I mean, they're...
Without being a victim, though, because we sort of do it to ourselves most.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And that's where we go back to the vigilance, personal vigilance, creating priority lists. What's my real priority here? Well, it's my kids, it's, you know, it's my practice, it's everything that I hold dear and near to my heart, but... you know, holding an intention for your dream is that thing that's going to magnetize what you need best to you. Mm. Don't you think, Diane?
Yeah, and I think that clarity is really important, and that's, once again, where people oftentimes are completely muddled. Like you said, they're working at cross purposes with themselves, and some of that's unconscious. I mean...
Oh, yeah, mostly.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge amount of our, you know, it's like 90% of our behavior is totally unconscious, so... For me, the path is to become as conscious as possible in this lifetime by, once again, tuning in, you know.
Diane said to me, I hate working with unconscious people.
<It's> like I'm one of them.
Oh, it's like the comedian saying, I'm dying up here. No, yeah. I'm dying up here.
Well, yeah, I've had my experience recently. It's a bit, you know.
It's hard.
Yeah, but, you know, it's about making what you can conscious, and you're not always going to be able to clear all those unconscious intentions, but the more you can heal yourself, the healthier you can be by doing mind, body, spirit work with yourself on a consistent basis, then you'll become much more, there I go again. I'm doing that thing that's like just getting in my way.
The old
and
tapes.
I think maybe another way to come about it, I met someone who really impressed me a few years ago, and I said, wow, well, you know, what is it? What are you doing that's enabled you to have such remarkable success? And she looked me in the eye and she said, passion.
Mm-hmm.
So
can't argue with that.
When you think about it, it's so easy not to be in touch with what you're passionate about. But if you do get in touch, you ask that question, you really contemplate on where your passion is, that helps you to really, boom, burn right through so much resistance.
Right.
And get to the core and manifest.
But just to butt in for a moment, if you're lucky enough to know your passion, to feel it.
Well, I said...
That's one thing.
Ask the question and contemplate. Take time to contemplate. For me, I remember one time I took a month asking that question, what's my passion? Mm-hmm. And something came up that I had no... Then I said, wow, is that really right? And I said, yeah, it is. So, okay. And I acknowledged it and I went with it. But it was after literally... possibly a month of asking that question, what's my passion?
Yeah.
I thought it was this. And it turns out it wasn't that.
Actually, we're going to include that in our next workshop.
Please do.
Keep asking yourself, what's your passion?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we live in a fast food culture, and people think that things need to come right away, or they come out here by buying something or by attaining something, or the answer's out there somewhere.
Mm-hmm,
yeah, mm-hmm. So I just keep directing people all the time back to here. You know, it's about stillness. It's about getting in touch with yourself. It's about taking the time to listen.
You know, we all have clients who say, I don't have time for this.
It's the universal mantra.
I'm just too busy.
Absolutely.
I'm just too... And I just say, you have appointments with different people, right, in your daily living. Make an appointment with yourself and keep it. Mm-hmm. Even if it's 1 minute.
Yeah.
Make
yeah,
an appointment.
Yeah, that's a red herring because most people, how much TV do they watch? You know, how much entertainment do they bring into their lives? How many distractions? And so I just think that's a red herring. I mean, certainly there are only 24 hours a day. And certainly people have...
The distractions are part of the self-sabotage.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's a way of slowing
that's
things
right.
down to a manageable pace.
That's the... Yeah.
But who here hasn't succumbed to that at one point or another?
Totally.
It's a part of being a human
I'm
being.
The worst.
Daily? Daily?
Right? Worst.
Daily.
Daily.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, as much as we try to raise the awareness of others, I have to go home and think, oh wow, I didn't meditate today. Wait a minute. When am I going to do that? And try to really rethink when and where and that how that is going to happen, you know, with three kids and making dinner and cleaning the house. And believe me, I mean, we both have been there and done that. I think in some ways it's harder when you're, forgive me, a woman, because we're responsible for so much more of the bigger picture than...
In some ways, when you have children, there's a lot of...
When you have children,
yeah,
be good to yourself and go slowly and take those small steps.
But just coming back to that point, yes, we all have a hard time doing that in practice, but if you habitually give yourself those few minutes, habitually, you replace bad habits with good habits.
Absolutely.
I'm talking to the converted here, but just to say that it's kind of, as Rory was talking about commitment, that's a small step.
Yeah.
But it's a step. Yeah. And it's an important one.
Yeah. And what I hear over and over again, particularly from women, is that I'm too busy taking care of everyone else. So once again, I say it goes back to commitment to yourself, like commitment to put yourself on the list, you know, ideally at the top of the list. You know, first thing in the morning, you roll out of bed, you take some time. Maybe it's 10 minutes, you know, but you take some time for yourself to sit in stillness. Then you know, I have clients who have changed their schedule to do that, and they say it changes the whole tone of their day. Mm-hmm. And they're much more able to give to their clients, to their family, because they feel like they've already given to themselves.
Well, that's that old saying, like, if the well is empty, how
exactly.
are you going to feed the town? So,
yeah.
Absolutely, you know.
And that's where the magnetism comes also, because... If you've given yourself those things, then your magnetism is more positive. Then when you haven't and you're depleted, the magnetism is much certainly less positive.
And when the magnetism's stronger, things come to you with ease as opposed to you having to slog through everything.
And the reverse.
Diane and I want to do a show about people who've already attained what they wanted to attain and what were the elements that were most present in their process. And I love the woman we talked to or consulted with at the fair that had the yoga retreat business. And she said she sat every morning, right, and meditated. You don't remember her.
I'm trying to remember.
She meditated, and she got information. She even had cross streets of where her next apartment would be available in the city. I mean, she had a whole... you know, literally step-by-step plan available to her because she spent that time in meditation. And it doesn't have to be a seated meditation. It could be yoga. It could be Tai Chi. It could be, you know, simply zoning out and just allowing
stillness.
Mm-hmm. But I said, you're the perfect example of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, I was so impressed by her. And it looks like her business is really taking off as a result. So... You can say that.
Maybe you could speak to flexibility, too, here, because you can have this vision of how it's supposed to happen, but then it doesn't happen the way you think it. Mm. But you have to kind of surrender and flow with it.
We talk about that a lot.
Be flexible. Tell us more.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's this or something better. And it's also, you know, you have this dream, but you by getting in touch with what it's going to bring you as far as states of being and qualities, then you can start manifesting those right here, right now, before the dream manifests, And so that pulls some of the energy out of that dream and into the present. So you're more living in the present, and you can be more flexible with what is unfolding, because we're co-creating, as some say, with the universe. We, you know, we're interacting with the universe, and we don't have control, you know, despite the laws of attraction professing that. But, you know, we can't just like, this is what I want. I'm going to visualize it till it comes. There's all kinds of intervening factors. You know, the universe sometimes has a different plan for us. So, yeah, flexibility and peace with what does unfold, and finding the value in that for us is very crucial to a peace of mind and a calm being.
And we also acknowledge, or, you know, we try to impress upon the people that we talk to about there's a level of realism. If you're, you know, working as a clerk in a grocery store, but you want to be an opera singer, if you've had no steps towards that end, it's not likely going to happen. But if, you know, your first step is to learn more about opera or educate yourself about opera, then that's an attainable goal. That's an attainable, you know, skill set that you can build on. But there's an element of reality that has to happen within your dreams, goals, and desires, that if that doesn't exist, it's going to take you a lot longer. It might not be in divine alignment.
It's a matter of not getting stuck in the picture, you know, the
right.
form.
Right.
You know, there's all kinds of forms it can take, and we don't necessarily know exactly what the form is that it's meant to take.
And I'm always surprised at what comes up, and I'm on a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't expect that. Mm-hmm. I'm shooting for television. Mm-hmm. I got radio. I'm happy, though. You know, it's good.
You're expressing.
Exactly.
So, you know, often in my experience, and I see other people, is that they may start with this abstract dream, which is, you know, it's not going to happen. And then something shifts in the self-esteem. And then there's a burst of energy, and then all these things can be possible. Do you find that you're often working with self-esteem issues?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Once you get kind of some measure of self-acceptance, then it can accelerate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Different tempos.
And
yeah.
that's one of those stumbling blocks that we're constantly kind of reframing, as Rory said, and putting into a different perspective that, you know, you may be feeling badly about this, but honestly, no one else is. You know, it's all in your head. So let's reframe that. Let's put it in a different context and help you be empowered from it, as opposed to be diminished by it.
Mm-hmm. Something came to me in meditation that ties together, well, meditation with self-esteem. And that's this: to be enough, it's enough just to be. You know, and it's when that becomes really deeply seated, then you're okay whether it appears that your project is going well or it seems to be hitting obstacles or even flopping, and you're getting that kind of feedback that it's not reaching your audience.
Resilience.
Yeah. And adaptability.
Yes.
You know.
Keywords.
Yeah. That's something that I think is part and parcel. If you have a desire, a goal, you have to be adaptable, and you have to have that resilience.
But I really like that, to be enough. So will you say that
again?
It's enough just to be.
Did everyone write that down?
Because if you're at peace with that, then whatever is unfolding is beautiful.
Yeah, and it'll reflect that centeredness and that depth, you know, and the creativity comes from that, too.
Mm.
It's more than resilience. It's actually being in the moment spontaneously creative.
Responding.
Much like that arose out of the depths of meditation. It just like came to me. It's like, oh, a duh.
<That's great.
laughs> You had a duh moment.
Homer Simpson meets meditation.
I was listening to an interview yesterday with a Broadway singer, and someone asked her the question, what advice would you give to a young, aspiring, you know, actress, actor, the coming to New York City? She said, she thought about it for a moment, and she said, maintain a good sense of humor. Because in the artistic life, you never know what direction, what street you're going to be end up going down.
Mm-hmm.
So maintain a sense of humor.
Mm, lightness of being. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, isn't that true? We all get stuck and mired in our stuff. And
things get grim.
Grim. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've spent so much time in grim when I was like struggling to make dreams happen, you know, and mm-hmm. you get discouraged and start to have self-loathing or what's wrong with me or why isn't this happening? Why mm-hmm. am I? When is my ship going to come in? There must mm-hmm. be something wrong with me. It just gets, you know, and I'm trying even harder and it's just grim, 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 and I'm still appalled that I didn't write down humor in my bullets for tonight's show. It's like another mm. a duh moment. It's so important to keep that perspective, to have your sense of humor.
And I think every time we consult with people, that's what we try to impart also is you know, the lightness of being and the sense of humor and the joy that should be discovered in every step towards your goals and desires. It shouldn't be a laborious task. It should be something you truly love and are passionate about. And that will always elevate you to a different level and always give you joy and fulfillment.
Said well.
Thank you.
Well, actually, an aspect of humor is contradiction. Right?
Mm.
Contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're kind of shocked by a really good joke, something is freed up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can breathe.
Yeah, right.
And then you can move. So it again, you can unblock yourself by being alert to the funny side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So here's another lead-in. So ask me why I'm the greatest Polish comedian.
Why are you the
timing.
Greatest?
Timing. So let's talk about timing, actually.
Timing.
That's a beautiful segue, because what does it take to be in at the right time, in the right place, with the right amount of effort? You know, it's a kind of tuning in.
I think it's a combination of everything we've been talking about, you know, being in a divinely aligned space, having your intentions set by drawing yourself and magnetizing to yourself those opportunities that you need, getting the experience and the practice that you need. You know, I think I know Oprah quoted someone, but they said, what was it? Good luck doesn't just happen. It's a lot of hard work or something like that. You know, you come across people who are like overnight successes, but they've actually been working really hard for years and years and years. And no one ever heard of Carly Rae Jepsen before she hit YouTube. And then all of a sudden, you know, the hit the fan. But she'd been singing for years prior to that point, you know. And so I think it's all a part of the puzzle. It's all a part of the same mix. It's something that you have to work at and be diligent with every day and be vigilant about your responses and make sure you're in a divine place every time you take that next step and make sure you take those steps.
I think something about what you said earlier, Paul, about magnetism. Or is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Something about the energy gets gathered over maybe through effort, repeated efforts.
Absolutely.
And then at a certain point, kapow, you're ready.
Mm.
You're ripe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And things are revealed.
Mm.
And then there is a true path, and which you couldn't see before.
Mm-hmm.
Because you weren't ready, as you were saying earlier. When you're ready, you're ready. And you know it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can appreciate a little help and guidance on the way.
Well, and I think support networks are another thing to be sought after if you're seeking a goal or a desire. If you're hanging out with people who are constantly putting you down and not really being supportive,
that's never going to happen.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And keep dreaming, honey, you know, or whatever. That whole, you need to separate yourself from that element, because that's just not going to help your magnetism. It's not going to empower you, encourage you, or get you where you really need to be.
You know, you have to, it's like the expression, you pray in secret. When you have very tender shoots coming up, you can't expose them to harsh elements, which includes harsh people or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you don't share what you're up to with everybody. It takes discernment, and that includes family too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to
first
play
and foremost,
it close to the vest, but you reveal it to people who you know can get it, or you dole it out in little doses and test the waters, and because it's very important to preserve the tenderness of that stage of the development.
Absolutely.
You find that?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes more so with family. You know, broken hearts are dangerous to be around. And a lot of people have had their hearts broken and their hopes dashed. And so they are feeling more cynical than is helpful sometimes for us to be around when we're revealing our dreams. So it's crucial that you protect those little tender shoots.
And what we were saying before, where, you know, you have to put yourself in an environment where people are conscious. You know, these are people. These people who are in pain. They're living kind of in a state of denial and conscious denial about their state. They think that's reality, and it's only their reality from their filter, so to speak. So, you know, creating that support.
Would you just elaborate on that a little bit?
The filter.
Of the. People that are living in a state of pain that are...
Well, who hasn't, you know, come across people are suffering from something or another? I had the experience of working with someone who was very negative, very, very difficult personality, and I just kept praying for their emotional healing, their emotional well-being, and it turns out that, you know, his parents had died, and he was suffering, but he wasn't telling anyone that. He was just reacting, like you said. He was just being reactionary. And that brought the energetic level down way low for people to function and prosper together and work harmoniously together. And I think if you can't change your circumstances, you can ask and put a prayer of intention out there that that person be healed on whatever level, whether it has to do with you or not, but just send them that intention and then try to avoid them. Or if you can, pull yourself out of that scenario because it's not going to suit your higher goals or your desires. But it's hard because there's a lot of people who are suffering and they're not willing to seek help. They're not looking for an answer.
The company you keep is very important on many levels.
Yeah, I mean, you can send those people love, but you need to get away from them.
That's right. Exactly. and that's what you do, and you release them. You know, I release you and everything about you that has anything to do with me. And then you can protect yourself, put a prayer of protection around yourself for that. So
I was going to say also, we've all come across, as healers, we've come across people who actually don't want to heal.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, they're addicted to being the victim.
And one has to be clear about that and not, you know, get enmeshed in that morphic field.
Mm-hmm.
So be it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we have just a few minutes left. Would you like to say more about what's coming up for you both?
Sure. Well, we have a website called lifedreamteam.com, and people can go to that site and hear about whatever we're up to, which we just did the Awaken Fair and did some taping of the Awaken Fair for part of a TV show we're creating.
Right. We're probably going to be editing this through December, a little bit of January, and hopefully have some segments up on the website by the end of January. But we also are going to make several appearances locally in possibly Garrison. And where else are we going to be?
Patterson.
In Patterson.
Inner Balance Studio, in Cold Spring Body Language Studio. So a couple places around.
Yeah, a couple of places. Yeah. We're open to suggestions. It's interesting how we've kind of gravitated towards mind-body people. But, you know, obviously the Awaken Fair was a wonderful venue for us to kind of explore and get some great people to videotape right then and there. Some of our events will be videotaped, some of them won't be. But in any case, you can always seek guidance from both of us as the Life Dream Team on Skype.
We're doing consultations on Skype.
You want to also give your individual contact as well?
Sure. I can be reached at My website is dianeingram.com, and my email is DEI at Diane Ingram, and that's DEI at DIANEINGRAM.com.
Now, I've been criticized
no.
for my website addresses because they go on and on. My full name is my website. I also am known as the Mind Body Maven. But if it's easier for you to remember, it's mindbodymaven, M-A-V-E-N, .wordpress.com. Or even more difficult, NicoleFevrierDavis.com, N-I-C-O-L-E-F-E-V as in Victor, R-I-E-R.
T- that is Fevrier.
Yes. Davis, DAVIS.com.
But all that's listed on our website.
It is.
LifeDreamTeam.com.
Mm-hmm. And our
so
contact
it's all
numbers.
All right there.
Yeah.
So let's also finish around the table.
Well, my name is Rory Pinto. I'm a spiritual healer and teacher. You can reach me at RoarStar@AOL.com. And my website will soon to be up will be RoryPinto.com.
And I'm Paul Lamb, and I can be reached at PaulMLamb.com. Thank you.
Anton Blumen, please visit me at mindcarecenter.net. And it's been a fun hour, to say the least.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
For coming.
This was
thank
a lot
you.
Of fun.
This has been New Perspectives Radio.
Va va voom.
Ooh!
It's not just radio, it's Rockland World Radio. RocklandRadio.com.